Chapter 6. Schizophrenia, as described. It was 1:30 in the morning when a man with a pointed beard, draped in a white coat, entered the examining room of the famous psychiatric clinic built recently on the outskirts of Moscow by the riverbank. Inside, three orderlies had their eyes glued to Ivan Nikolaevich, who was sitting on a couch. A very agitated poet, Ruekin, sat nearby. The napkins used to bind Ivan Nikolaevich lay in a pile on the same couch. Ivan Nikolaevich's arms and legs were free. "Here, doctor," Ruekin began. "Ivan Homeless, a famous poet, you see. We're afraid it might be delirium tremens." "Is he a heavy drinker?" the doctor asked. No, he's been known to have a few, but nowhere near enough to..." "Why the long johns, brought here straight from bed?"
"He came to the restaurant like this, doctor."
"Right, right, right," said the doctor, and turning to Ivan, added, "Hello. How old are you?"
"Would you all go to hell already?"
Ivan shouted rudely and turned away.
"Why are you angry? Have I said anything unpleasant?"
"I'm 23 years old,"
Ivan said impatiently,
"and I'm going to file complaints on all of you. You especially, parasite."
He addressed Ruekin in particular.
"And what is it you intend to complain about?"
"The fact that I, an absolutely normal person, have been snatched and dragged forcibly to the madhouse."
Ruekin looked more carefully at Ivan and felt a chill. There was not a trace of insanity in the man's eyes. No longer clouded, as they had been at Griboyedov, they regained their old clarity.
"Goodness gracious," Ruekin thought anxiously. "He's completely normal. Why did we drag him out here, really?"
"You are not in a madhouse," the doctor informed calmly, sitting down on a white stool mounted on a shiny metal foot. "You are at a clinic where no one will detain you without need." Ivan Nikolaevich glanced at him suspiciously, but nonetheless muttered,
"Thank God, finally, a single normal person among all these idiots."
"So why were you brought here exactly?" asked the doctor.
"Oh, damn the blockheads to hell! Grabbed me, tied me up with some rags, and hauled me off in a truck."
"Then let me ask you why you wore underwear to the restaurant."
"Nothing out of the ordinary here," Ivan replied. "I went for a swim in the Moscow River, and someone made off with my clothes and left me these rags. What, was I supposed to run round Moscow naked? I put them on because I was in a hurry to get to Griboyedov's restaurant."
"I see," said the doctor. "And why were you in such a hurry? Some business meeting?"
"I'm hunting this consultant," replied Ivan Nikolaevich, glancing round anxiously.
"What consultant?"
"Do you know Berlioz?"
Ivan asked meaningfully. "The composer?"
Ruekin had no desire to say anything, but was forced to explain.
"The secretary-general of Masoret, Berlioz, was run over by a tram today on the Patriarchs."
"Shut up! What do you know?"
Ivan snapped at Ruekin.
"He knew in advance that Berlioz would fall under the tram."
"Has anyone besides you seen this consultant?"
"That's the problem. Only Berlioz and I."
"Right. So what measures did you take to apprehend this killer?"
Here the doctor turned and cast a glance at a woman in a white coat, who was sitting behind a desk off to the side. She took out a form and began to fill in the blanks.
"The thing is that this consultant, to put it frankly, he's mixed up with evil spirits. You can't catch him just like that."
For some reason, the orderlies straightened up and fixed their eyes on Ivan.
"Oh, yes,"
Ivan continued.
"Mixed up with them, all right. That's one incontrovertible fact. He personally spoke with Pontius Pilate. No need to stare at me. It's all true. He saw everything, the balcony, the palms. He's been to Pontius Pilate's. I vouch for it."
Suddenly, the clock struck twice.
"Hey, hey!"
Ivan exclaimed, rising from the couch.
"It's already 2. I'm losing time here. Excuse me, where's the phone?"
"Let him use the phone," the doctor commanded to the orderlies. Ivan grasped the receiver, while the woman asked Ruekin quietly, "Is he married?"
"Single," Ruekin answered fearfully.
"Union member?"
"Yes."
"Police!"
Ivan shouted into the receiver.
Whoever's on duty, please dispatch 5 motorcycles with machine guns to capture a foreign consultant. Drop by here, I'll come with you. I'm homeless, a poet. I'm in the madhouse. What's your address?
Homeless whispered to the doctor, covering the receiver with his hand, then shouted at the phone again.
Are you listening? Hello? Unbelievable!
He howled suddenly and flung the receiver at the wall. He then turned to the doctor, offered his hand, bid him goodbye dryly, and turned to leave.
Forgive me, but where is it you want to go? Spoke the doctor, peering into Ivan's eyes. So late at night, in your underwear. You don't seem to be feeling too well. Stay with us a while.
Let me through,
Ivan said to the orderlies, blocking the door. The woman pressed a button on her desk, causing a shiny box and a sealed bottle to pop out onto its glass surface.
Oh, yeah,
Ivan said, glancing round wildly like cornered prey.
All right, then. Farewell.
And he dived, head first, at the window curtains. The impact was resounding, but the shatterproof glass behind the curtains held, and moments later, Ivan was struggling in the hands of the orderlies. A syringe flashed in the doctor's hand. The air began to smell of ether. Ivan went limp in the hands of the 4 men, and the doctor deftly seized this opportunity to jab the needle into his arm.
Bath him. Put him in the number 117 single, and keep an eye on him, ordered the doctor. The white doors slid noiselessly open, revealing a hallway lit by blue night lights. A stretcher rolled out from the hallway on rubber wheels. The pacified Ivan was transferred to it and carted off down the hallway, the doors closing behind him.